children, I am going to need you, those of you who have fun acting stuff out. I know sometimes in Sunday school you guys act some stuff out. So we're going to need to do that here for the adults so they can really wrap their minds around what's happening here in the story. So be prepared. After I read this, we're going to do that, okay? I don't know if you guys can even read that. I know it's font small, but wanted to fit it all on one page. Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. Jesus had just fed 5,000 plus, more than 5,000. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on water. When the disciples saw him walking on water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaim. So children, any of you who would want to help me out here, and I need some boaters, children who could be in this boat, and see, this is the boat. So any children, could you come and help out here? You need to climb in this boat here. Climb in this boat. I need some disciples. Climb in the boat here. I'm going to be Jesus, okay? Kai is the first disciple. Okay, hold the boat. Hold the side of the boat. You're clinging to the side of the boat. Get in the boat, okay? Everybody hop in the boat here, okay? I didn't know how big of a boat to make. Okay, so let's, everybody get in the boat. This might be a crowded boat. Okay, all right. Oh, that is a crowded boat, isn't it? Okay. Okay, nice and cozy in there. All right. Wow, we have lots of disciples this morning. That's great. Now, who likes to act? Who could be a Peter? That's what I'm wanting to be. I'm going to need a Peter. Anybody volunteer to be Peter? So Peter does what? He gets out of the boat, right? And he walks with Jesus on the water. Anybody? Anybody volunteer? Lucas, you? Maybe someone just a little bit older, maybe. Okay. Gracie, would you do it? Kaya, would you do it? Okay. All right. Is that okay, Lucas? Okay. Kaya, you're going to be Peter, okay? So I'm Jesus, and I have sent you guys across the Sea of Galilee, and I'm up in the hills praying to the Father, getting my next marching orders here, talking with him, asking the Father what he wants me to do as his son. And you guys are out in the Sea of Galilee in the middle, and what happened? What happened? There was a strong what? Okay, audience, I need you to help us out. Participate, everybody. I need to hear some wind. Come on. Some wind. Okay, you're rocking now. You're rocking. Rocking, disciples. Oh, it's rough. Up and down. Okay. Okay, it's rough. Okay. So I'm done praying, and I'm going to... Well, I said to go home, so you guys, I just told you to go home, so I'm going to walk home. I'm going to just walk on the water, and so I'm Jesus now, and it's windy, and I'm just strolling along the water, on top of the water, defying the law of gravity, defying the natural properties of water, and I'm walking. And you know what it says in Mark? This is what I find interesting. Jesus intended to walk past them, is what it said in Mark. Isn't that really weird, huh? And so this is because he knows what's up. So Jesus, he's walking past, and you see me walking on water. Jesus, what did you guys say? Ah, you're scared, right? Okay, but you're saying, Jesus, help us, right? And then I call out, take courage. I am here. Okay, but I'm still at a distance. Now, Peter, what do you say, Peter? Okay, you can come. So I'm still at a distance. So Peter, you get out of the boat. Yeah, you're walking on water. Can you believe it? You are walking on water. Now you look at me, right? Because where is your power coming from to walk on this water? From Jesus. But now, what did Peter do? He looked at what? He took his eyes off of Jesus and he started looking at what? The waves, looking at the wind. And so you become what? Afraid. So can you act that out? Okay, and so Jesus comes over and he picks Peter up and just takes his hand and he comes back up on the surface of the water. Now, we don't know how long he went, you know, down. It might have just been a little split second, but we seem to, you know, pick this out of the story. And so then Jesus and Peter go back to the boat and they both get in the boat and they all go home safely. All right, thank you guys. Good job. Thank you. Y'all can drop the boat and get out, and you can go to your seats. So thanks for acting that out. You want to go to the next slide, Justin? We're going to look at these elements here that we had in this story. We had the water and with the heavy waves. We have Jesus. We had the boat and the disciples and Peter. And these are these main elements of the story. And so I want to look at the significance of these elements, kind of pull these out, and hopefully we can gather something from them. So that first element is the water and the heavy waves. Now this, the significance here, this parallels or is significant to the world, okay? Evil. Always changing. The wind came up and the waves were just, you know, coming up, here's a swell here and a swell here, always changing the landscape, and never know, there's no security, there's no stability. Who's ever been in rough seas? And, you know, I know the last time I was out on the water, and it was a horrible day. I was so sick from these swells, and it seems as I older I get, the sicker I get as I go fishing. So, I don't know, my fishing days on a boat are... Okay, so the water with the heavy waves. Okay, the significance here is think of it as evil. Can you do that? Think of the water as worldly things passing away. Let's consider God's chosen people. And I brought this up, I think, a few years ago in a message. But God's chosen people were people of the land. Bodies of water were associated biblically with evil, with oppression. Noah and the Great Flood, right? Was that pretty much wiped out civilization except for those on the ark? That's kind of oppressive and evil, you know, significance of that flood, the water. How about Moses and the children of Israel and the Red Sea? This great obstacle. Okay, so that body of water was seen as a negative thing, an oppressive thing. It was something that God had to overcome for them, right? How about Jonah and the raging sea he was thrown into and that great fish that dwelt in that water, in that sea, and swallowed him whole, right? You get the picture? Biblically, we can look at water, bodies of water, as negative. The children of Abraham, in whom God had promised a portion of land to flow with blessings of milk and honey, this was their focus. They were not seafarers like other pagan people who used the seas and were upon the seas and went to and fro on the seas, using the seas as a way to gain wealth and power like the Phoenicians. Were seafarers. They were the greatest traders of the time, and the seas were a major factor in what empowered them to become great and influential, but they were pagan people. So that's how we can look at this. So, and now here comes Jesus onto the scene. Here comes Jesus. Jesus is born, and he starts his ministry. Now, I mean, you hear the name Sea of Galilee. Don't you think of Jesus and his ministry? I mean, I do. You hear Sea of Galilee, you think of Jesus and his ministry. Jesus' ministry is around the Sea of Galilee. Quite different from what we've seen the significance of bodies of water in the past. So here's Jesus, and his ministry is centered around the Sea of Galilee. And now, because of the power of Jesus, and he puts it on display in and around the Sea of Galilee to prove that in him we must put our trust. In him comes, from him and his ministry comes these lessons for us in our lives in overcoming evil. Consider, how about Jesus called fishermen? Jesus called fishermen to make them what? Fishers of men. Giving you a mission here. Out of the seas is going to come abundance. Going to make you fishers of men. Give you a purpose. How about a miraculous catch of fish? How about the coin out of the fish's mouth? These are some of them. There's many more. Where Jesus is changing things around. Out of the water is coming blessing. Overcoming the water. Or also lots of teachings from Jesus on the boat. Teaching those on the shoreline. His ministry in and around. Very involved around the Sea of Galilee. Jesus sleeping in the boat. And the disciples are afraid they're going to be killed and they're going to die. And Jesus wakes up and he rebukes the wind and the waves and they cease. He's overcoming evil. And then we have the story where Jesus is now in this sustained, supernatural display of his power. I was trying to think of any other instance where he was displaying in a sustained sense a supernatural thing such as walking on water. I mean, many times he healed many, you know, be healed, and they were healed. You know, he changes the water into wine, and But this sustained supernatural display of power, I think is just really, it was fascinating to me when I was considering it. He is conquering the natural properties of water and or the law of gravity. In a spiritual sense, Jesus is putting on display his power to overcome the powers of evil, the powers of sin, and the powers of death. In a spiritual sense. So he calls out to us even today, take courage. I know the waves of life are heavy, always changing, raging, but I am here. Following me? Our Savior, our Rescuer provides supernatural stability and power in the midst of the world's waves. It is his presence, his relational understanding of the rough seas, his presence, his understanding, his graciousness, his encouraging words that keeps us in a place where we can indeed be encouraged. We can take heart. We can know that he has overcome. He can overcome what we face in life. Take courage. I am here, he says. And now we have Peter. The display of Jesus' power is taken an awesome step farther. How does that? Not only is Jesus walking on the water, but he provides it so that he's walking along the boat there within, you know, the distance of them being able to see him. And Peter interacts with him. And he says, Jesus, if it is you, bid me come. Can I come to you? Yes, come. And so he takes on. Jesus supplies him with this supernatural ability to walk on water. Yeah. And Peter experienced, as long as he intensely focused his sight on Jesus, that this same supernatural ability to defy the heavy waves that were rocking the other disciples on the boat. And he walked on the water with Jesus, his eyes locked on his, and the law-defying power was coming from Peter's connection with Jesus. This natural law was being defied here. Think about this, and it's all because of Peter's connection, his focus on Jesus. He wasn't doing it on his own, right? And so I just, You know, so often we think of Peter sinking, but just think about that. Let it sink in, if you will, that Peter walked on water. A regular guy like you, a regular person like you and I, walked on the water. Yeah, it's our relational connection. It's our relational connection with Jesus that provides us as human beings with great spiritual power. That's the takeaway here, one of the takeaways. And it's only that, our connection with Jesus Christ. Miraculously, Jesus, you know, is his purpose then, if we can look at this, is he is, I see him as he's pulling, as he pulled Peter up, you know, his purposes and what he invites us to do is pulling people up out of this sea, you know, fishing for men and women, right? Pulling them up, setting them on the water. To life, to abundance with him, to be in relationship with him. As Peter was connected with him, eyes to eyes, pulling people up out of the depths so that they might be connected with him and experience, essentially in a spiritual sense, what Peter experienced. Being in relationship with Jesus and experiencing life in him, relationship with him. You know, we can see in life Jesus doing these things. We can see Jesus transforming people. We can see Jesus pulling people out of the depths and setting them up on top of the surface of the water with him. We see Jesus doing awesome things in this world. We see him transforming lives. We should ask, can I join you, Lord? Can we then step out in his power? And then we should expect to do the things that he's doing, to join with him, doing the things that he is doing. I mean, do we care, church, that there are people drowning? Do we see him? Do you see him restoring lives? Do you want to join him, you know, and pulling people up? He's calling us, I believe, in the sense to do this, to join with him supernaturally, to experience his saving, his mission to save. And to give abundant life. But yeah, all the pictures that I could find were actually of Peter sinking. And I couldn't find one where he was actually walking on the water with Jesus, eyes connected and probably enjoying it, I would assume. I would, wouldn't you? That would be cool. We so often as human beings focus on that negative aspect, right? Our tendency is to focus on the negativities of others even, and it can rob us from powerful, encouraging reminders. Even, you know, we think of Jonah, that little disobedient Jonah. Never mind that he, you know, did turn, went to Nineveh, and helped to save an entire city from destruction, right? We kind of, yeah, he did that too. But he got swallowed by a whale because he was disobedient. You know, we tend to focus on these things, right? So let's not miss this. Peter, a common guy, walked on the water by the supernatural power of Jesus because he was connected with him eye to eye until he took his eyes off of him. Until he took his focus off of Jesus. And he fell into and was consumed by what he feared, the waves, the wind, all that around him. He took his eyes off of Jesus. What might be some of the waves that you could name that you might possibly fear? What are some of these things? You know, I just kind of picture these swells coming up and we can put names on them. Well, this one might be doubt that Jesus and that his power is even for me, that it exists, that I can be connected with him in such a way that I might be able to experience change and stability in life. It might be some of these waves might be a fear of death, maybe. We know that we will never die if we are connected with Jesus. They might be maybe not having enough. Might be one of the names of a wave, you know. The fear of, you know, ailments, getting sick, or maybe even you're experiencing that, you know, some health ailment. And this seems to draw your eyes off of Jesus. You're focused on these things. What about maybe one wave popping up in your life might be shame. You dwell on it from the past, and it causes you many times what you shouldn't be doing, taking your eyes off of Jesus who's redeemed you, but you dwell on these things. Secret sins, maybe. That's a wave popping up. something that only you, Jesus, and the enemy know about, and you dwell on that thing. Well, where you need to be focused on Jesus and what he has for you, the transformation that he wants to bless you with, the supernatural transformation that he wants to bless you with, so you can experience walking on water with him. And even questioning your self-worth, who you are, some of these waves popping up that we can tend to dwell on. We talked about worry this morning. Worry's a big wave that can pop up in our lives, you know. Might thinking that it's going to swamp us, you know. Like Peter, taking our eyes off of Jesus and looking at this thing coming, this big rogue wave coming at us. Oh, we need to continue to focus on Jesus, from whom our strength comes. From whom our strength comes to defy and overcome. And then you have the disciples, okay? They're in the boat, and they were getting rocked, right? The kids put it on display for us, right? You guys were giving them the wind, and the waves were whipping up, and they were getting rocked all around. And I kind of think of this illustration here. So here's Peter walking on the water, and I imagine that there was immense stability. I don't think he was going up and down with the waves. I think there was stability. I think he was at peace with Jesus when he was intensely focusing on him. And here's the disciples over here, and they're getting rocked by these waves. You know, they're kind of like, as I see it, maybe on the boat of religion named salvation, you know. We can be like the disciples and be over here, and we're in the boat. Yeah, we're good. We've got salvation. But Jesus is just way over there. Hey, Jesus, how you doing? We know you're there. We're good. We got salvation. But they're getting rocked by the waves. You know, Jesus is the only one that can provide the stability for us. You following me? We must be in a personal relationship with him, connected to him. That is where our strength comes from, and only that. So, actually going to put the point up now. I know it's late in the message here, about wrapping up. Go to the next slide, please, there, Justin. So don't let the circumstances of life rock you. Take courage, get out of the boat, and walk by faith on top of life's waves toward the open arms of Jesus by intensely focusing on him. That's the point. Now, we want to each be able to take something away here. I hope maybe you've taken something away so far, but I think we can take even more away if we put ourselves into that story. So can you imagine with me yourself on the boat here? Okay. You're on the boat, and of course, being from year 2017, you would, of course, be a law-abiding citizen, and you would make sure that there were life-saving apparatuses on the boat, right? And so, let's just say, I just want to ask you a question here. Okay, so you're a modern person, and on this boat is a life-saving apparatus, this life vest, okay? Would you grab it if Jesus said, yeah, come? I think we grab a life vest sometimes. This is my point here. Because we got a little worried about that, Jesus. I can't swim. I've got a big cloak on and you know, I don't know. I think we do this sometimes. You know, step over the boat. Okay, I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm walking on the water. But, you know, I just have this just in case. Got my money. And we do, this is what we do, I think. If we don't, you know, we buckle up. I'm good, I got you, Lord, but I also have, you know, my bank account. I got a nice house. I've got all this stability that I'm making sure I've got, and we spend some time fidgeting with this, and we do take our eyes off the Lord. And he doesn't want that, right? And I just have this, you know, the dollar sign, and all that revolves around providing for ourselves, making sure we're secure. That temporal life vest that we really don't need. We have Jesus. That's the point. And we spend a lot of time worrying about, do we have enough? And Jesus doesn't want that. He wants us to be intensely focused on him, connected to him, and listening to him, and what he wants for us. Our attitude should be, no wave of the world can rock me. No swell can swamp me because I have Jesus and I'm connected with him. And then sometimes we put our trust in our own abilities. Yeah, well, I'll come, Lord. I'm a good swimmer. I'm good. I hear that every now and again. Well, I'm a good person. But all that matters is that you're connected with Jesus. Because I don't care how good of a swimmer you are, the reality is as humans, we have like 100 pounds of lead weight of sin in our pockets, and it's going to drown us. The only one that can save us and provide the stability to walk on water is Jesus Christ. And so we must put our trust and our faith in Him. So there's a difference between Peter walking on water and those disciples that were in the boat of salvation getting rocked. You know, we have to intensely focus on the Lord Jesus Christ to take courage. He says, I am here. So what does it look like to turn and intensely focus your spiritual eyes on Jesus? We're going to listen to a song here in a minute. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, this song says. Well, I want you to be able to take away something here. And I just felt like the best way to do that was to give you a little bit of homework. What happens when, Anita, when you tell the kids they got homework? They go, oh, homework? Yeah, you got some homework. First Peter, let's just jot this down if you would, because I just want you to take it home and maybe reflect on it this week. This is coming from the man who walked on water with Jesus, Peter, right? First Peter 1, verses 3 through 11. I think this is good for us to understand this, to meditate on this. What is Peter saying? What is he giving us here? And I'm just going to read it real quick. But I want you to take it home, and I'd like you to meditate on what Scripture is giving us here, this Scripture. So Peter is saying here, by His divine power, this is Jesus, of course, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him. Relationship. Daily relationship with the Lord, to know Him, the one who calls us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in His divine nature. I wonder if he was thinking, like walking on water. And escape the world's corruption like the raging waves caused by human desires. Let's see. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with generous provisions of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. And the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted and blind. They're not in connection with the Lord, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those who God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. You will never drown. You will never sink. And God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that is your reward. So, that's your homework. Meditate on that. Read that, maybe even every day. Just read through that and own it for yourself. I can speak at you all day, but if you don't own it for yourself, what's the point? If you don't take it in and apply it, if you don't digest it, what is the point? So is there anything that is keeping you from looking Jesus in the eyes in a spiritual sense? Is there anything there that is keeping you from directing your eyes, your heart upon Him? Jesus says, take courage. I have overcome all that weighs you down and I am here with you. Take courage. Kurt, if you'll cue that song up and you can go ahead and play it. This is a song where we're going to meditate just for a few minutes here and then we're going to be dismissed. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You can go to that next slide, please, Justin.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face.
And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. You focus on Him and the waves, they just kind of are off. They're over there, yeah. You're focused on the Lord in the light of His glory and grace. So in this time of just reflection and meditation and prayer, if you would like prayer, come forward. I'd pray for you. Johnny is in the back there, and he would love to pray with you as well. If there's anything, is there a wave that is just kind of consuming you and you need something from the Lord and you need to be prayed for, whatever it is, this is the time for that, to focus intensely on the Lord Jesus.